Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
It's the Nerdist Podcast number 527. Hello, Portland, Oregon. I will be in you in a couple weeks, June 12th, 13th, and 14th at Helium. Go onto the internets and get some tickets, because I think there's a handful left. So come on out. I'm doing five shows. It should be fun. I would like to see you in Portland. And then we'll all go get donuts, and then you can tell me that whatever donut I got was not the best donut in Portland, and that I'm a tourist. I love you, you adorable hipster donut snobs. So I'll see you there in a couple weeks. This episode is brought to you by NatureBox.com. NatureBox is a subscription service. They're going to deliver healthy, delicious snacks on a monthly basis right to your doorstep for free. Each bag is full size, 3 to 5 servings of snacks. And these are not crap snacks. These are good, delicious snacks that you can feel healthy about and you can be positive about, and you don't have to beat yourself up for wanting to snack on them. It's better to kind of plan this stuff out so you know what you're getting. There's no high fructose corn syrup, no trans fats, there's no artificial sweeteners, no artificial flavors, just delicious, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. And hey, you Nerdist Podcast listener, you're going to get 50% off your first box. It's only 10 bucks for your first box if you visit naturebox.com/nerdist, all in lowercase. Will be case sensitive, so make sure and visit that URL and sign up. NatureBox, healthy snacks to your door, almost directly in your mouth. I don't know if you could get your postal carrier to do that, but who knows? Maybe you're close. But with the exception of putting it directly in your mouth, they are really helping you take control of your snacking and put healthy things into your body. I'd like to thank them for supporting this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which is Jamie King, who is wonderful and brilliant and super cool. I've known Jamie for a little while. Jamie and her husband, Kyle, we see each other around from time to time. They're good people. There's some people that you go, This is the downside to working so much, is that I'm not as social as I want to be. But I guess, again, this is what's great about having the podcast, is that you actually get to hang out with people that you don't normally get to hang out with. So Jamie is promoting Star Wars Clone Wars, which is on Netflix, and Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, in theaters August 22nd. So here we go, and there's podcast number 527 with Jamie King.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
How have you been, Jamie King?
I've been good.
What's been going on? We're pals, but I haven't caught up with you in so long.
I know. It's been forever.
I blame me.
Let's blame each other.
Okay.
How could you do this to me? Oh, my God.
Friend. What's happening? What's been going on? Catch me up.
Well, I just wrapped Heart of Dixie season 3. I had a baby during that time. I was pregnant.
What?
Worked until the day before I gave birth, had 6 weeks off, and went back to work.
Oh my God.
And just wrapped. So it's been like the craziest, busiest year of my life.
So you were working with a newborn baby?
Yeah.
So that's probably really easy to do, right?
Oh my God.
I mean, for anyone who doesn't...
Yeah, so easy. It's the easiest thing in the whole world. And my husband was gone, by the way, for 5 months. So
what?
It was like next level. Like,
where was he?
He was shooting a film called Barely Lethal.
Nice.
So, you know.
Well,
You know, I have a new puppy, so it's probably really similar.
Wait, is
right?
that your puppy?
Yeah, that was my puppy that you just saw.
I didn't realize that was your puppy.
Yeah, that was my puppy. Yeah, I brought her to work.
Where did you get her?
She was a rescue. Someone rescued a pregnant dog from a shelter. And then she had puppies a couple of days later. So we had been combing all of these, rescue websites, and, you know, we found this like husky golden retriever mix, and, she was friggin' adorable.
She's so cute.
She's got the one blue eye and the one brown eye.
Oh my God. So soft.
Yeah. So it's exactly the same.
We're going through exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Teething, I mean, too, probably.
The worst. Yeah. I shouldn't let the dog suckle up my teats, but I just feel like it's...
I understand.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to have the experience, you know?
Just connecting, the bonding.
I just want to bond. I want her to bond with me.
It's very nutritious. It's like the new way to take care of puppies.
Nothing's comes out, though, so she just basically like...
Just give it time.
What? That's all I have
to
do?
I think there's puppy lactation consultants.
Just after a while.
Can you imagine? That's so disgusting.
Yeah, I can't imagine because there are stores in Los Angeles that are like... There are nicer dog stores in Los Angeles than like a lot of the restaurants here.
Oh my God, I know. It's like all raw, vegan, the food that they have for dogs now is next level. It's crazy.
My dog prefers the paleo diet. My dog wants to eat raw because that's
raw,
how dogs
paleo
are.
Diet? No,
yeah, guys.
More, no wheat, no gluten.
We take our dog to all the vegan restaurants and just get her a lot of plant-based materials.
Well, you know what? She'll live longer.
She will, and she'll be happier, and her farts will be awful. She's doing great, though. She's only about 10 weeks old. But let's talk about your baby.
I'm so sleep deprived. I'm like literally hallucinating. I realize that there's now like a 10-second delay to everything that I say in life because it's like by the time I hear something and then my brain catches up with it, it's like I realize it's been like 10 seconds later.
I so understand what you're talking about because having a baby way more intense than having a... You can't just leave a baby. You can't crate train a baby.
You can't.
Well, you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. That'd probably be really bad.
There are days, because my days are really long, and I come home, and then at night, you know, like sometimes she'll cry at night, and so you're up, you know. I don't have to get up and you know. But there are some days where I feel like my brain is set very far at the back of my skull.
Yes.
And in front of my brain... Do you remember the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I love that movie.
So when you're starting to realize, like, there's some weird ghosty shit happening, I don't know what it is, and she... Spoiler alert. And she leaves the castle, or she leaves the house, and it just gets all cloudy out in the woods.
Yes.
She just doesn't know where the fuck she is.
Yes.
That's...
I feel like my brain
is Nicole Kidman wandering in the foggy woods.
Okay, I don't feel so alone.
And I don't... And there are days where I can't... Like, I forget, like... The dog. That's the word I'm looking for.
I know. When Kyle started doing that to me last night, I'll start a sentence. It'll be like, and the... Because I'll start something and I can't finish it because I just go off and it's some never, like, nether etheric world of, I don't know, tiredness.
I think I have mommy brain.
You do have mommy brain.
Oh, my God. I think I have a baby somewhere.
You do.
I had a baby and I'm so busy. I didn't even realize it. What is the gender of this child?
A boy.
His name is
James Knight Newman.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah.
That's a good, solid dude name.
It is.
James Strong. Newman.
It's not like too weird, kooky Hollywood. I don't want to like name him anything like super weird, you know? Because I feel like
Candle.
Lots of actors do
His
that.
His name is Candle Newman.
And then they don't think about like when they have to grow up and... Yeah.
No, it's nice not to... I mean, it's one thing to have a sort of a unique, oh, this means that I'm... different, but you know, when you're a kid and you're like 12 years old, you don't fucking want that.
No, you don't.
You don't want people like, please, but stop. I know my name's Apple. Please just stop.
I know. Apple's the one that people always go to.
Because that's the one that I can think of. But then again, I'm very good friends with the Zappas and I can't picture Moon or Dweezil or Amit or Diva being
named
anything
else. No, that's perfect for them.
Yeah.
It's totally perfect for them.
But
you're right.
But I guess if you're raised by Frank Zappa, that's different.
It is. It's totally
different.
Because
everyone's like, oh, well, you're a Zappa.
Exactly.
So this all
It's self-explanatory.
Makes sense. Yeah. But you're probably, these kids are probably going to go to a regular, your kids are going to go to a regular school and...
Yes, it'll probably, well, I mean, I don't know. It depends on, sometimes I think about homeschooling them, sometimes, it's just so strange because I didn't grow up in Los Angeles and I come from the Midwest, so it's just like the whole private school thing freaks me out and like you just spend this crazy money to get some sort of like relatively like decent education for your child and I feel like concerned that what I had to worry about in school, which was like, oh, I don't have the Esprit top or like the Guess jeans.
Yeah.
Like here is like, oh, my parents fly private and like, you know what I mean? It's like just the level.
Do you think
level.
James is going to worry about the Esprit top? I don't think he's going to worry about it.
Well, I don't think, does Esprit exist anymore?
I don't know. What happened to Esprit? And then... anyway,
it's what happened to Hypercolor? Do you remember Hypercolor?
No. What is that?
The oh, Hypercolor is that where you could put your hands on stuff? Epic shirts that were so disgusting when you think about it. Whenever you got hot, it would change to a different color.
Oh, my God.
Well,
they're still
maybe,
here.
Maybe they'll have, you know, like a press boom. And
look up
it
Structure.
Will be
do they still exist?
Structure. We can get them a nice silk washed
a
shirt.
A silk wash paisley tie
oh my
from
God.
The 90s.
Do you remember those? Those were amazing.
And some suspenders.
I don't see Structure.
I'm sure it should be attached to like a Limited Express, right? Didn't they share storefronts? That's what I remember, at least.
An Express and
you
a Structure.
You could get your silk shirt with your like ribbed tunic from Express. Do
yeah,
you remember
that's,
these?
That's all you got to do.
They're the best.
I think James Knight is perfect because then if he wants an offbeat name, then he can go by Knight if
yes,
he wants
like
to.
Jedi Knight.
Yeah. Or J. Knight Shyamalan.
Or J. Shyamalan.
Shyamalan. Or he can go by Jimmy Knight when he goes back home. Hey, Jimmy Knight. Hey, JK.
My husband was so concerned about like what his name could be turned into that was like a big factor in naming him at all. He's like, I don't want him to be called. Like, he would take every single name. And I was like, nobody on like the entire plane would ever think to call your kid, like turn this name into that name. You know what I mean? Just like... weird dad.
He's already thinking
concerns.
Too, that's people in the internet age of already trying to game how they're gonna get trolled.
No, it's true.
Like
though.
We can't name this thing this because they'll be like talking shit night or whatever. Like they'll just put some shitty thing in there.
It's crazy when you think about like. Thank God we don't have really any sort of online history because of our parents.
Yeah.
I started really tripping out about that when I was pregnant, thinking about like, oh well, my mom didn't have like. Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, like my whole youth isn't necessarily like out there for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And so then you have a kid now and you're like, how much do I want to document of him? Like, do you don't want to embarrass him? Because what, like everything, like his whole history is now like there.
And it totally takes away the ability to have like family slideshow night where everyone's
it
embarrassed.
It does.
Like,
you can't really embarrass.
It's all gone. Those days are gone. Yeah. Just take as many embarrassing pictures as possible, and then but don't post them.
And reserve them.
Yeah, just reserve
for
them.
Prom
like,
night.
If you misbehave, this is, I'm going to put this on whatever
on,
the social media
on
of the day. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, or whatever it is. By the you know, in 10, 12
yes.
years or whatever.
I can only imagine.
What part of the Midwest did you grow up in?
Nebraska.
You're from Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever even performed there. I hear Lincoln's a pretty cool town.
Lincoln's awesome. Omaha's awesome. I'm surprised that you haven't. Perform there.
I am too. I may.
You
maybe
performed
I have.
In that little town outside of Austin when we went to see you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that was. What was? What were you shooting down? What were you shooting down there? At the
my
time?
Generation.
You shoot my. Okay. Right. Yeah. And I was. I performed at Cap City.
Yes.
It's in Austin, but just a little. But out
on
downtown.
The outskirts. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really fun. That was really nice to see you guys.
That was fun.
Because I didn't really know you guys that well. We had just met on Attack of the Show.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew who you were. I knew who you were. And it's funny. When I interviewed you on Attack, I listed all the things you do. And as soon as I said, and model, and you were like, ugh. Like,
oh, God.
I said, you know, like actor, writer, model. And you were like, ugh. Like, and it was so, it sort of felt like you didn't even realize it came out. But
no, I didn't. I actually didn't remember
even
doing
something about
that.
It was just like, ugh, don't say that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like when people are like, oh, host of Singled Out. Ugh, please. No, come on. That was the 90s. Please, guys.
It was the 90s.
Was it really the 90s? It wasn't.
For me, it was the 90s, yeah.
Really?
Starting in the 90s.
How old were you when you started doing that?
13.
And how does someone from Nebraska in a pre-social media world get discovered to then go off and be a model?
I think it's the way that it started was I was really obsessed with films and photography when I was a kid. So, I had to figure out some way that I could end up doing that, you know? And so I would read a lot of magazines and read a lot of photo books and watch a lot of movies. And I was constantly trying to figure out how does a kid from like a small town get anywhere big. And I remember reading in the newspaper that there was a modeling school a modeling school where agents from all over the world come and meet you.
I have come to Nebraska.
And then you get to go to like a big city. Uh-huh. And so I begged my parents to let me go to this modeling school. And lo and behold, I met someone who was a huge agent from New York.
A real agent,
like a proper real agent with one of the best agencies out there. And that's how I ended up in New York. And here I am.
Now, that doesn't feel like it normally works out that way. That feels super scammy when they're like, come and pay to be seen.
Absolutely. And I learned like how to walk with books on my head and like etiquette and how to file your nails properly. Like the weirdest, craziest, like Amy Vanderbilt's book of etiquette along with modeling tips. But you know what? It's one of those things.
Any of it seem shady or did it all seem...
I didn't care.
Okay.
Because I didn't know the difference. All I wanted to do was just get out of... Well, I wanted other opportunities and I knew that from a really young age.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think about how like kids are like born knowing what it is that they want to do, but I think that we really are.
So you just went right to New York at like 13 years old?
I went to Miami, and then Miami went back home, and then went to New York. And as soon as I went to New York, one of my first shoots was with this photographer named Stephen Klein, who's this amazing photographer for this magazine called Visionaire. And then I shot for Vogue after that and Harper's Bazaar, and I started shooting all of these big shoots. And then when I went to go back to school, the agency basically said to my family, she's doing really well.
We own her now.
She can stay here and work here and have a career. Or she can, you know, go back to school and just do that thing. And I was lucky to have parents that supported me and knew that I did really well in school. So I did correspondence courses and did both. It was a brave thing. I was thinking about my mom allowing me to do something like that. And it was just... I mean, without her, there's no way that...
Now that you're a parent, can you imagine letting your child do that?
That's what I was talking to my mom about, just like how she had the vision. Because she was very strict and very disciplined. So the idea that she let me have a different kind of a life than how we were actually raised was very wild to me. That I think mothers just know. There's just an intuition that they have, and I'm just very grateful. I don't know how she did it. Like I can barely leave my kid for like an hour without wondering. He's always on my mind, no matter what. He's always on
my
mind.
I mean, it's a pretty incredible story that you turned out totally cool and normal. That it's you could have been like. You could have been dead by 17.
During that time, absolutely. Yeah. And that was like pre-Giuliani, like New York. It was like New York was still gangster. It was still like the East Village was not like a cool hip place where you went to get coffee. It was like thugged out, like crack city, like shady clubs. You know what I mean? There was not, and I didn't have money, like no money. I was living off of like, I would get Sicilian slice of pizza because it was like really thick bread. So that would like sustain me throughout the day because I only had like $100 to live on for the entire week.
Oh my God.
And so I would have to decide whether I wanted to walk like 60 blocks to like a casting, like in the freezing cold, or if I wanted to actually like spend my money on a train. Or it was like so different then. There was no GPS. You were staying on the corner with your map. And like, it was just so... It was very, very.
We already
very
sound old timey. Like we are.
We are old timey.
There was no GPS.
But you know what? There was a. We are at a weird. We're in a weird generation where we had like the Dewey Decimal System, and we had like to go in and look up books or whatever, and Google wasn't necessarily at our fingertips. So we remember that time, but now we're also part of like the whole internet era. And the kids that are growing up now will never know what that was like to have to memorize phone numbers and like, use a payphone or like...
I mean, essentially, your phone is an external hard drive. Yeah. Not only is it an external hard drive, it basically, it stores everything, all information. And you really don't... I mean, do you know your husband's phone number off the top of your head? Okay, you do.
Yeah.
Do you know? You obviously know your parents' phone number. Are there other phone numbers that you're like, I should remember that one, but I always just hit it on speed dial?
All of them, basically, except for my home phone number and my husband's number and one of my friend's number and my family. That's
baby's
it.
Got a cell phone already, right?
Of course.
You got to start him early.
In his brain.
In his brain.
A chip.
That kid.
It's a new option at Cedars, just to let you know.
They put a chip in the baby. Do you want the chip option?
One day it's going to be that. It's going to be like you're going into labor. They're like, would you like the chip or would you not like the chip?
And then one day they'll just insert it in a strand of DNA, like as...
Crazy.
As it's...
Yeah.
Or it'll be some type of special biotech device that sort of like imagine it's something that fits over a man's penis like a condom, but it has material in it that implants itself in the egg when it fertilizes and basically just creates this cybernetic organism.
Oh my God.
Guys,
Dude, this is going to happen.
Great.
It's going to happen. My husband told me the other day, he's like, do you know how many years? He was like, 30 years, 90% of all novels will be written by computers. And I was like, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. What are you reading?
It's just going to be different. Just let it happen, Jamie.
Oh my God.
Just let it happen.
Your husband's a really smart guy, by the way.
He is really smart.
He's really, really cool.
I mean,
I'm sure people know that he's a director. Did you meet working together?
Yeah, we met on his movie Fanboys.
Yeah.
Which, if anybody loves Star Wars, it's about kids that are obsessed with Star Wars that go on a road trip to break into Skywalker Ranch to see the newest episode before he passes away, the lead character. So that's how we met.
And met and immediately were like, weird.
I'm like
together.
The one weird person in Hollywood that has a rule that I will not date anybody that I'm working with. Because I never liked the idea of like going to set, dating someone or hooking up with someone. And then like the next day something happens and you have to go back and finish a movie with them. And you ruin the entire project because you were like couldn't keep it in your pants. Like to me, like coming from Omaha, that it's that kind of thing. That like real like worker thing. Like I have to like really kind of not mess things up or I'm going to be sent back home that feeling. I hadn't ever met him before doing the movie. Harvey Weinstein had asked me at a Globes party if I would go. He's like, there's this amazing young director. He's awesome. You're doing this movie. We just do a cameo. And I'm like, sure, sure, sure. I agreed. And I thought that he was probably just drunk or it was just like another one of those Hollywood things. So yep. I said yes to it. And then forgot about it. And then on Monday, the script came to my door and I had already agreed to it and I hadn't read it. I didn't know what it was about or anything about the filmmaker, but I had, you know, committed. And so I actually had to pick a part, like a cameo, and go down there and do it. And I remember walking onto the set and seeing the back of my husband. And he had a sweatshirt, and it just said, New York, I am your father, with the Vader chest plate. And I was like, whoever the fuck that guy is. Whoever the heck that guy is. I was just like, whoa.
You can drop the F-bomb.
Like, I was into
that.
So
as you're reading the script, you're like, I feel like I'm gonna have this guy's baby soon.
I mean,
I've made some
but I did not here. Hook up with him. I didn't even like speak to him. Probably I spoke to him on the film and then we re-met 6 months later and then that was that.
It's funny because I'm Southern and so there's that I don't know where the phrase originated from, but I do remember hearing it a lot in the South. People like the analogous phrase for don't fuck people at work is
don't shit
where you eat.
Yes, exactly.
And I always felt like, is that really an appropriate analogy to making love to someone? Don't shit where you eat. Don't shit all over a person where you like.
Or does it mean like don't shit where you eat, shit where you eat, meaning like that's the place that gives you money where you can buy food to put on your table. So don't shit on the
hand that feeds you. It's sort of like when you're training a dog. A dog will not shit where it eats. Because that's unsanitary.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure my dog probably has shat where he eats.
Well, our puppy.
And he eats his own. My other dog was eating her own vomit yesterday. So,
oh.
Like, you know, all the time.
I believe that's called emetophagia. That's the scientific term, I believe, is emetophagia.
Is it? Are they actually embarrassed? Do they throw up and get embarrassed?
I'm
like
so
puppy
sorry.
Embarrassments?
I'll clean it
and like,
up.
And don't want you to see it? Like, what
don't
is
look at
that?
Me.
What makes them want to eat their own vomit?
They just
that's
sit
what
back,
I want to know.
They just sit back like Winnie the Pooh with a jar of honey and just scoop it in. Stop looking at me! Stop looking at me! Yeah, they're horribly. Dogs get embarrassed very
but
easily.
What is it?
They're not. Dogs don't get embarrassed at all because.
Are you sure? Really?
I'm positive.
Do you really, really think?
I'm positive.
Honestly?
They don't.
I don't know. I think they're much smarter than we actually
think. I think they just don't. I think they don't. They just see food and they don't understand. They just smell it and they don't know that. They don't even realize that they threw it up. They're just like, blop. Hey, look, food. Like, they don't know.
Really?
Or it's like, you're not going anywhere. Get back in there.
Clearly, I put so much more onto my dog's emotions than maybe actually exist.
That could be more of a reflection of, like, if you threw up, would you eat it to be like, please don't. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Because
life is a mirror. You know? Maybe I should go home and take a look at that.
Well, so many people, when they have pets, you know, they're always like, oh, she's just feeling very shy.
Right? I am that person. I'm totally that person.
Are
I'm
you
like,
sure she is?
My dog is actually a terrorist. Dog is like an audio terrorist. You come into my house and like, it's like The Walking Dead. Like and when a zombie is like eating something.
Oh, I should come over and do an after show for your dogs.
I mean, yeah, it's bad.
Because Laika will basically pee and then just like flop in it. Like she just doesn't really. I've never had a girl dog before, and a boy dog you can predict, like, oh, the leg's going up. But a girl dog is just blah. It's just like the
just comes out.
The bomb shoots open. It's just like and you're just like, oh fuck, come on, really? I didn't even have a chance. You didn't give me a chance. So it's and then she just
walks on it. I'm like, do you have wood floors or carpet in your house?
We have wood floors. So she's basically she just gets a bath every day because she's just this adorable little piss soaked husky mix who just doesn't know any better. You know,
she's so cute.
Yeah, my girlfriend doesn't even care. She'll just pick her up and, you know, like, oh,
that's what it's like with a kid now. Like, you have shit all over your hands.
Were you squeamish at all before?
Before, probably, but now, definitely not. It's just like everything is just sort of like one thing. It doesn't really matter. You just want to get it done.
Is your first name James?
My first name is Jamie, but my mom started calling me James when I was a kid.
Because that was your modeling name.
Yeah, so I went by James King because that was the name that my mother always used. And then when I started acting, I just really wanted a delineation, so I went back to my... But now people call me both.
So it's kind of cool that your son's name...
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. When we thought about that, it wasn't even like... It wasn't supposed to be a reference. The only thing we had a reference to was the night. The night part, which was because for Jedi Knight.
Sure.
Or Knight for like in reference to my last name of King. So there was really just... That was really the only name that was... You know.
How much was it almost James Jedi Newman?
Well, after we got past the fact that his name would not be Arsenal after the football team, which legitimately our unborn child was going to be called Arsenal for about 2 years, after we got past that, then,
because
you know.
The shortening of that is Arse, which right, is...
Exactly.
Yeah, which is not...
But we almost called him Arsenal after a football team.
What are some other rejected names?
What were some other rejected names? I really liked the name Phoenix, but then my manager named his kid Phoenix, so I couldn't do that. And then
I mean, I'm sure Jar Jar Newman was up
Jar
there.
Jar Jar, of course. Wait, who is the character that Kyle hates, loves so much?
Is it a Star Wars character?
It's a Star Wars character that he went on every single podcast and said was his favorite character just to piss off the director of the Clone Wars, Dave Filoni.
Oh, that's really funny.
Oh my God, why can't I think of it? It'll come to me. It's some really random character that never got its own action figure until Kyle like went on to all these things and now...
Now it has an action figure?
Yeah, this is going to drive me crazy. I have to text him and ask.
Text him, ask
him. I'm going to.
What's that character you hate, love?
So, yeah. Speaking of Clone Wars, did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
Season 6?
I haven't seen season 6 yet.
It's so good.
Is it good? How is it?
It's great.
Clone Wars is rad. I always have to wait until... I mean, I feel like even though we're working on different things, you fostering life and having a job and me having a few jobs, I'm always trying to catch up on stuff. And I always kind of have to wait until everything's done. So that I can just like
I know.
Bang it all out at once.
That's how I feel too. Especially when you're shooting or you're working for like 9-10 months a year, at least I am. And the amount of stuff that you have going on, it's hard to come home and focus on one thing. You just like, you're just trying to sleep and like wake up and then get through your day.
Yeah.
And now on hiatus, I've just been like watching television like a crackhead. I haven't even watched all of my own series of Clone Wars. I haven't watched the entire season 6. I watched my arc and then I haven't seen like the rest of them yet because I have to get through everything.
What are you guys going to do knowing that kids are rebellious when James is like, Dad, Star Wars is dumb.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We've already had this conversation about both things, about Arsenal and about Star Wars, because there's no way that this kid is not going to love Star Wars. I legitimately think that my husband would, like, it's just not, I was like, what would you do? He's like, that's never going to happen. It just won't happen. It's in his blood.
I love the pop culture pressure shift that has changed from generationally since before. You know, before it could be like, stop watching Star Wars and get a real job. Now it could be like, stop trying to get a real job and watch
and
Star Wars.
And finish Star Wars. And then the entire EU. No, all of them.
No dessert until you finish the Attack of the
Clones.
Oh, my
God. Seriously. It's crazy. No, his whole room is like Star Wars. So,
were you a big Star Wars fan? But were you a big fan of this episode?
I love Star Wars. It was my mom's favorite. My mom saw all the Star Wars like 3 times in the theater every time that they came out. And I remember watching it in front of the TV, but not the way that Kyle remembers it. Like, Kyle remembers seeing it in the theater. He remembers, like, the toys he played with in his crib. I just sort of remember in a way that it was, like, a part of our family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It felt like there was always something about Star Wars going on. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's just one of those... It's the only thing that's ever been created that truly is so universal that it transcends every age and every like race, and no matter where you come from or how old you are, it will always like thrive and it will always be. And it's such an honor to be a part of that universe. You know what I mean? Like, if you have nothing to talk about with someone, at least you can, for the most part, talk about Star Wars.
Yeah. So if you're
and if not, then we probably shouldn't be friends.
So if you're just stuck and there's just like a weird gap, then you're just like, Womp Rats, huh? Like,
yes, exactly, right?
You just get into...
I've had two friends like confess, like after a few years of knowing us, it's like they pull us aside and they say, "I haven't really wanted to tell you this before, but I've never seen Star Wars." And it's like this confession that they've been waiting to like say, but haven't been able to, because they would like legitimately think that we wouldn't be their friends because they aren't obsessed with Star Wars the way,
well,
you know.
My girlfriend had never seen Star Wars, but it was because her dad did the special effects for it. And so she thought it was...
Wait, who's her dad?
John Dykstra.
Oh, really?
And so he did he won the Oscar. Her parents' first date was to the Oscars, where he won the Oscar for Star Wars. And so she'd never watched Star Wars because she thought it was really funny. And she loves... Like, we met at a Doctor Who convention. So it's not like she doesn't understand that world. She just thought it was really funny that she could be like, "Haven't seen it." Until I sat down and made her
watch all of them?
Made her watch it. Yeah.
And how did you... What order did you watch them in?
We just watched episode 4.
Okay.
We just watched episode 4, and she really liked it, and it was fun to watch it because it's really hard to find someone who has not seen Star Wars that is not over the age of 13.
That's true.
And so so you know, Chloe's 15, so it all no, totally kidding.
You know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, but she really did. She really did enjoy it, and she, you know, she just.
Was it a part of her world growing up? With like,
well, it was just a part of her dad's work.
Yeah,
like he worked on all these movies. He worked on, you know, the original Battlestar, and he worked on Star Trek: The Motion Picture, and all these different movies. And so it was just all a part of her world, and it was just funny that her rebellious teenage years were like, "I'm not gonna watch fucking Star Wars." Like, that's how she was.
Take
kinda,
that, Dad.
Yeah, she was kind of rebelling against.
That's
her dad.
Crazy.
I know. So it was really, really, really fun, and then fun for me to watch it again with someone with fresh eyes,
right?
Because I hadn't really. And when you watch it, usually you're just like, "Oh, there's this part, and this part's great, and this part."
Yeah.
To actually watch and be like, "Now this is gonna, and this is why this is important, and look at all."
It's
at
so true. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Later, they would add some things to this. But right now...
Oh, my God.
It's untouched.
I was trying to defend that the other day. Like, why do you have to add all this stuff? I was like, don't you understand? He didn't have the money then or the technology then. Do you see why it's important for him to finish his masterpiece? And I was like, wait. Oh, my God. I sound like crazy.
I think it's good to take the other side, though.
Crazy.
There's nothing wrong with that. Are you going to Comic-Con this year? Are you going to any conventions?
I don't know. I usually go every single year, and I don't know how I wouldn't go. Yeah, I probably will, actually, especially now that we have James.
Yeah.
He has to be at Comic-Con.
You have to.
You know, before the age of one.
You got to cosplay the baby. You got to do Tiny Boba Fett. Baby
Tiny
Fett,
Boba Fett.
Baby Fett.
I can go as my character, Aura Singh, and he can go as Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
I think it would be. Just a tiny little baby backpack.
Oh, my God.
And then just the little booties. And maybe don't put a helmet over a baby's face, but some...
But you know what? I kind of like the idea of a helmet over his face considering the amount of germs at Comic-Con.
Oh,
when I think
true.
About like how germy it is there and sweaty.
Although
and,
truthfully...
And germy and sweaty.
I feel like babies are more likely to get people sick, aren't they? Because they just absorb everything and then they... Do you
I
get
don't
sick
know.
A lot?
I do, but that's because I work all the time around like a crew of people. Like we can never get well because we're always working. So we just sort of pass the illnesses around.
By the time it gets
and hope that
the first person gets over it.
It's true, and it's right back again. That's just it's one incestuous sickness.
How do you maintain being a full time working mom, right, with also a full time working dad?
It's interesting. I think you just start to try not to judge yourself all the time. You know what I mean? Or like have like a certain idea of the way that you think things are. We don't have like someone watching our kids full time. We have them for when we're working during the day, but like that was something that was really important to us, is that we wanted to raise our kid without like a lot of people around, and that we really wanted to be very involved, which sometimes I feel like out here a lot of people aren't. But it's definitely very intense, like when you're shooting 12 to 16 hours a day and then you just want to sleep, but you can't sleep because you know you want to be engaged with the baby. It's something that you learn how to do every single day. It's still so new. I don't really know, but he's so like loving and happy that I think that the main key for us is realizing that you don't have to like leave him at home. You know, you don't have to like give up your life. You make him a part of your life. And because of that, he'll grow up in a such cool environment because he's already very social and very creative. And I think that's really great. You know,
here's my plan. And I think it's actually a pretty cool one.
Let's hear it.
I feel like this is an everyone wins plan. So someday, maybe someday I'll have a kid and then right away, boarding school, send him away. Largely ignore him.
There you go. That
and
works.
So, and then, you know, like...
At what age?
I don't know.
Like preschool?
Four, whatever. Send him away. You know, every once in a while, send him some money or something. And really just sort of establish, like, that I'm impenetrable and...
Of course.
You know, whatever. For a while, he'll be like, what did I do wrong? And, you know, but that's just part of the process.
Then you send him money for a therapist so he can work through his abandonment issues. And
well,
then
here's the big thing at the end. So this whole time, he's getting a great education. He's learning to bond with others. I get my free time back. And then when he's like 17 or 18, I come in and then he's like, fuck you, man. You didn't give me anything all those years. And I go... Or did I give you the greatest gift of all, independence? I've loved you the entire time. And then he's so overwhelmed because he didn't know.
Because he never had you.
That it's just like,
and
oh
he's like aching for any sort
of
affection
totally
from
get
you.
It now.
Yes, absolutely.
I know how to tie all these fancy knots and stuff that I learned at boarding school.
Oh my God.
And I had all these semi-gay experiences, so now I'm super open-minded.
Isn't that more like Eagle Scouts?
Yeah.
I don't think they teach you how to like... tie cool knots at boarding school. It's Eagle Scouts boarding school for the, you know, semi-gay.
Let's let the school decide the curriculum, Jamie.
Yes, okay. Let's do that. And the social curriculum.
Yes.
And the sexual preferences.
Yes, it'll be fine. It'll be totally fine. And whatever he is, I'll totally love and accept him from that point on, and then we'll have a great relationship. And then by that point, I don't have to fucking have him come home. He's independent. He can get his own job because he knows how to handle and make his way in the world. This is a good plan.
He can start a really amazing Etsy company tying knots.
That's right. Nazi. He'll start
Nazi.
Oh, wait, no, that's bad. No, that's bad. And actually, he should not start Nazi. It's K-N-O-T-S-Y. It did not take off for obvious reasons. It was a site where you could just get finely crafted knots.
Oh
no, it
God.
Either has to be... It can't. You can't just be selling a retail knot. It has to be a knot that you made or a vintage knot. That's how
yes,
it works.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Ben Quatreneros.
Was this the kind of thing that you said, oh, I really want to have kids soon? Or did it happen sooner than you planned? Or what?
No, I've always wanted to have... I mean, we always wanted to have a kid, but I think that we were always trying to plan it for like hiatus or like plan it around like our careers or our life. And then eventually we were like, we can't try and control everything.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, it was, you know, I got pregnant.
But do you feel, because people always say like, well, there's never a time and you never, most people never say that they're ready and then it happens and then... The moment that you gave birth, were you like, oh, this is totally the thing, you know, because I have male friends, female friends, and it's, as soon as they see their child, they're like, this is what I was meant to do. You know?
I felt that way when I was pregnant. And then by the time I had the baby, because I was in labor for 26 hours.
Oh.
And because Kyle was shooting his movie, my two best friends were, thank God, with me. And
you're very understanding.
Well, I mean, what do you say? Like, it's, you want to support, like, I'm not going to say you can't go do this amazing film that, you know, you worked really hard on just because I don't know. I think that's the reason why our marriage works is because when you understand that someone's very creative and that he would always be there no matter what, and he's a good man.
Yeah.
That if he could, but that's the hard thing about, you know, Hollywood. It's like getting a movie greenlit with amazing actors and an amazing script takes so much time. And then it just goes when it goes. And if you miss that window, it was literally like, I remember the day that he came home and he's like, if Sam Jackson, if the baby comes between this day and this day, I really actually won't be able to come home because Sam Jackson can only shoot on this date and this date. And I was like, oh my God, my pregnancy is like literally being dictated by Sam Jackson's
come on, Sam.
Dates on the movie right now. Like, but legitimately, that was it. So I remember praying every night, like, please God, let the baby come this time or after this time, but not when Sam Jackson is shooting the movie. Please God.
Sam, please, can I just have this off so I can go see the birth of my child? I don't know. Someone just said I could go play the Augusta course this weekend in Georgia.
My God.
No, please.
I took an Uber to the hospital when I went into labor. I was like, this is like a quintessential like LA experience right now.
I hope you gave that guy 5 stars.
And called a freaking Uber. And he drove me all the way up to labor and delivery. He was amazing. That's 5 stars. Absolutely.
Uber helped me deliver my baby.
It was so crazy. But when I had the baby, it was so like, by the time he came out, I thought it was going to be like angels singing and like the heavens opening up and and it was more like, like, you know, my body, my head, like everything was just like, why am I not seeing stars and why are the angels not singing and why do I not? Because like, they're like, hey, they put the baby on my chest and it's like the most amazing thing in the whole world. And it's not that it wasn't the most amazing. It was more like my whole experience being pregnant. I felt that connection, but by like the trauma of birth was so overwhelming to me and like hoping that he would make it back in time that it was just like,
you know, they have like medical Ubers called ambulances and
they
that's
do.
Like a,
I don't know why I didn't think about that.
It's like you can
maybe
call them.
Maybe because ambulances are so dramatic. You know,
are so low
then
key.
Everybody would know.
I'm in labor. Should I splurge for the SUV this time?
I know.
It's like 25%
Uber X
more.
Or SUV.
Hello, I'm trying to find your address. My water broke.
Oh my God.
And then you get the message like,
imagine.
Uber unexpectedly canceled.
I know. Oh God.
Do you feel changed as a post-baby Jamie King, somehow more enlightened, or do you see the world differently? What happens?
Oh my God, totally. What happens is that you can't be caught in like your own shit anymore. Like your head, it can't be about you. And so anytime I start to like freak out or I'm worrying about like a deadline or this or that or the other, it's you look at this kid and you realize that all you have is that one moment that's in front of you, you know, they just bring you back to the present. And I just don't really know how to describe it. It's just, it's really amazing. It's really amazing.
And what, is there any advice that you have for someone who's about to have a baby, having just gone through it, that you wish you had known?
It's interesting because I remember after I had the baby, I got really pissed at a lot of my friends because it was like they didn't really describe what it was actually like. They didn't really tell you. They kind of tell you, but they don't really tell you. And then I understand now why they don't really tell you everything. Because if they really told you everything, you probably would think that you wouldn't be able to handle it until it actually happens, and then you just do.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just a really strange thing.
There's a lot of historical data to support that people do survive having kids.
Yes.
Because we're here.
Otherwise, we would not be here.
That's right.
But when you're going through it, sometimes you literally feel like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Because you're so sleep deprived. Like, you're so sleep deprived. You're so tired. You're so freaked out. But at the same time, it's like you're also the most elated, most enlightened, most happy. Like, it's all of like, it's like polar opposites all happening in one gigantic like explosion at the same time. So it's really, it's really amazing.
How does he do at night? Is he sleeping through the night, or is he?
It depends on the day. Sometimes he'll sleep, and then right when he starts sleeping through the night, something happens, and then he's not. You know, typical.
Are you gonna go for more, or are you good for a while?
Yeah, we're gonna go for more, but not for a little bit.
We're gonna do more. Well, what I hear is that. Because I have friends who have a kid, and it's like, oh my God, it's the most amazing. I'll have a second one, and be like, they just activate each other.
I know, right?
All night long.
Yes.
Why didn't my parents tell me?
Or you have one kid like ours, which is like happy all the time and super awesome and like very easy. You can bring him anywhere. And then like your second kid is like some sort of terror, like nightmare, like colicky and mean and like hates life and never sleeps and like sick all the time. Like that's what I hear a lot. It's like you have one like angel and one like devil spawn.
Right.
And then you're like, oh God, what did I do? My life.
It's baby roulette. You don't know.
It is. It legitimately is baby roulette.
You don't know.
You don't know.
you get one amazing kid, and then just like fucking Damien Thorne.
Yes,
is the other one.
Yes,
who wants to bring about the resurrection of the Antichrist? Oh, and then like, God, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with that information?
You don't. You just do.
As a mother, you just have to love them no matter what.
Yeah.
What are your days like now? You said you're just getting to relax a little bit and watch some.
Yeah, I'm gonna go up to Skywalker tomorrow Ranch, and nice. I'm gonna take a vacation. That is my ritual every time I rap, and so I'm gonna continue the ritual and bring the baby there. So that'll be nice. But like now, it's really just trying to like. I still really don't feel like I'm wrapped, because ever since I've been wrapped, I've been doing press for Clone Wars and the show and everything. So today is like my final thing, and then I'm just gonna like chill.
You don't look crazed.
Really?
You look normal.
Good. Then my acting skills are coming into play.
There are not bags under your eyes. You don't seem frazzled.
Yeah.
Your eyes aren't red and watery.
Good.
You don't seem like you want to tear anyone's face off. Like you seem okay.
Thank you. I think it's an inner experience sometimes.
But it sounds like your parents are pretty cool though. So whatever.
No, my parents are so awesome. And no, honestly though, it's challenging as it is sometimes, I feel very grateful and I do feel balanced and I feel like I have like the best of everything I could ever want in my life. I get to do what I love to do, and then I have a beautiful child, and now I have time to just hang with him and be with him, and it's all good.
When so just going back a little bit, when on Attack of the Show I said Anne model and you went ugh, what was it about that experience that was ugh?
That's a good question. I think.
Is it just being referred to that way?
Yes, because I don't like that. Because
of the stigma?
Yeah, I think probably because I had to work so hard to get past, you know, when I went from modeling to acting, nobody had really done it successfully at that time. Like now a lot of people do it. It's sort of like interchangeable, like within the worlds. But then really nobody had done it. And so it was kind of, you know, it was really intense to have to go into a room and show someone that you actually had like the ability and the talent, but because you were some famous model,
they judged you.
And when you actually did bring it, and then I started getting cast in a lot of really great things, it was such a relief for me, because I was so terrified that like I would mess it up somehow. You know what I mean? That I would, but I knew that I could never go back to modeling, and I quit it when I was in my prime of doing it, and I was still really young and making so much money, but I quit because I didn't feel like I was learning anything, and I didn't grow up to want to be a model. I wanted to either be a director or a writer or a photographer or a filmmaker or something like that.
Is that what you gravitate toward? Is like, as long as I'm learning something, that's where I should be?
Always. Always. It doesn't matter what it is in my life, it's always that way. You know, and so I kind of get this feeling when I get to a place where I don't feel like I'm learning anymore, that it's really hard for me, because I know I'll never be able to stay complacent within that. And
sure,
that's sort of a blessing and a curse, because it's what pushes me forward to do a lot of different things, but it's also the thing where I know that I can't live a life that's just like here. You know,
yeah, learning is growth and complacency is death.
Yeah.
Or at least it's the beginning of death.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
You always have to be. Is
Absolutely.
There anything else other than child rearing that you're learning right now that you're into?
I'm still really into just writing and directing. Like, I've been writing since I was a kid, but now that I'm on hiatus, that's really what I'm going to be focusing on.
You're going to make something? Is Kyle going to direct it? What's going to happen?
Oh, we'll see. I directed a short film a year ago, and Kyle and I direct music videos together and write music videos together. We did Summertime Sadness with Lana Del Rey, and we did We Are the Fallen, and we do a bunch of different ones. So I want to do that on hiatus and focus. I'd rather do that than just go take a movie just to take a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I always have to be making something. If I'm not, I start to feel like I'm going crazy.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good gene to have. It's a fire in the belly.
It is. It is.
Because when you just sit around, I would go fucking crazy if I just had to sit crazy too.
Like, that's why it's hard for me to even go to a beach. And then I'm like, what's wrong with me? I can't even relax when I'm on a beach. When I'm on a beach, I'm like...
Here's me in a museum.
Well, I'm watching Game of Thrones, like, in Mexico, like, losing it, because I can't get, like, the feed or the connection where he's like, you're on a beach. Like, why do you need to watch Game of Thrones?
I know, I get it. It's a beach.
In the morning.
I get it.
And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Here's me in a museum. I'm a very frustrating person to go to museums, because I basically, I walk really fast, and I'm like, uh-huh, uh-huh, got it. And I'm appreciating it on a really, you know, like, I'm it's just that I'm not stopping to go, look at the use of
yes,
light. Because it's just like, I got it. I got, like, I'm trying to appreciate everything on such a hyperspeed level and just absorb it all at once.
Yes.
I hope that doesn't mean I'm a shallow person. But it
no,
just
no, it just means you look at things on
but
a
just like at a beach, I get
scale.
Like 15 minutes at a beach. I'm like, ah, all right.
I know, me too. I'm the same way. But do you judge yourself for it ever? Do you ever find yourself like, is there something wrong with me that I can't like just sit and enjoy being on a beach?
I judge myself constantly. But for that, I guess I just feel like, that's how I am. And, you know, I don't know. I do appreciate it. I just don't need...
Like the sun. I don't like the sun very much.
Well, I don't like the sun because...
I burn.
Yeah,
I get
because
sick.
We're the whitest people in the world and we get
so
skin
Caucasian.
Cancers
I don't think it gets any more
sunburns
Caucasian
sunburns and... No, this is pretty...
White.
Yeah.
This whole thing is like... Super duper.
Nazi.com. KNOTSY.
On Etsy.com.
It's not my Etsy shop. Nazi.com. I know you have to. Do you have to go do? They're saying you have to go. Do you have to go do kid thing? You have to go be with your child. And...
Ben Quadraneros.
Oh, he was the character that.
Yes, you know what character.
Wrapping it up in the
yes.
end.
Ben Quadraneros. He's like Qui-Gon Jinn. I was like, no.
Wasn't
Ben
Qui-Gon.
No, he's like. Everybody loves Qui-Gon Jinn. Ben Quadraneros. Pod racer. Ha 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 ha.
Did he write? Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm so sorry. I was a few minutes late.
It's okay.
It's the unfortunate. It's the good side, bad side to like be just being a producer on something where it's everyone's looking at you and going, hey, how are you going to very again, exactly like raising a child. It's not exactly like raising a child. Exactly
is,
like raising a
is,
child.
It is kind of. It is.
It's like sort of.
It's like it's something that's living and it's breathing and that you're responsible for.
That's it.
That's
it's just
constantly
that,
changing. You never know what's going to happen.
It's just
the
that there's
thing.
A being or a group of beings who look at you and go, what now?
Exactly.
And you're like, I don't know.
Except it's like 200 versus one or like a large group and a lot of money.
The needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many.
Yes.
Or the few. Just to mix up our Trek and Wars references at the same time. It is delightful to have you on. Please
thank
come
you.
Back. And
thank
I hope that we all get to hang out again at some
time.
Every time we say this and then a year goes by, but I think that's unfortunately how life works when you're a grown-up. You have to make we have,
to, have
make
to make
time.
Plans.
Yeah, we will. All right. Thanks, Jamie King.
Thank you.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone. Oh, did you want to plug a thing while you were here?
Oh, yeah. Watch The Clone Wars Season 6 on Netflix.
Yeah, guys.
And
it.
Watch Heart of Dixie on Fridays.
Excellent.
And what else? And watch Sin City 2 when it comes out in August.
Oh, yeah, Sin City 2. Fucking rad. I'm excited for that. You're done. You're all done. Yeah, of course, it comes out in August. Anything you want to tell us before you go about it?
About what?
Sin City 2.
I legitimately like don't even know what it's going to look like. When I was the first person on the first day.
You're just acting in front
and
of
there
this
was
wall.
Nobody cast in the movie. So I acted to five pieces of tape and I'm not kidding you. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt came up to me at the Critics' Choice Award and he's like, "So we just did a movie together." I was like, "Yeah, that's so nice to meet you." I had no idea what he was talking about.
I played a piece
about.
Of tape.
Like, legitimate. Like, it was like, they're like, okay, this is this person. Just use the hand. So the AD is walking around with the hand, and I'm like, and I'm acting with myself. And the like, and it was just, I have no idea what it's going to look like, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Well, you can watch it like the rest of us and discover whatever it is together.
Exactly.
Cool. Good to see you.
You too.
Tell Kyle I said hi.
I will.
The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly crying. Lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.